Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed this morning, exploring what it means for us, what we believe, and what it means as we live out our lives. So at the end of the last Lord of the Rings movie, The Return of the King, Pippin, distraught by the pains and sorrows and looming defeat the hobbits had suffered in their quest, Pippin turns to the wise old wizard Gandalf and says, "I never thought it would end like this." And Gandalf replies to him, "End? No. The journey doesn't end here. There is another path we all must take. The gray-rained curtain of this world rolls back, and it will change to silver clouds, and then you see it. White shores and beyond, a fair green country under a swift sunrise." Brothers and sisters, today we are exploring the final phrase in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." The end? No, this isn't the end. Because the truth is that death isn't the end for any of us. Our journey does not end with death. Because God has a more glorious future planned than we can imagine, when Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. When Jesus comes again, God will raise the dead, giving us all resurrected bodies just like Jesus. And forever we will live in communion and fellowship with the triune God, with one another, and with all of God's restored and redeemed creation. This is our great destiny and our great hope. And it isn't just our hope for the future. It's our blessed hope now. Because as the Apostle Paul reminds us in the Romans reading we just read a bit ago, we have already died. And we're raised to new life in our baptism. We have two resurrections. The first is when we emerge from the waters of baptism into the new and everlasting life that God has for us. And then our final resurrection, which will happen when human history as we know it ends. In baptism, we are united with Christ in his death, and God raises us to new and eternal life. As Lutherans, we believe that God gives us the gift of eternal life in our baptism, and then we live into that gift forever. There are other believers who think that eternal life begins when they die. And there are still others who think that going to heaven when you die is like a reward for believing in God or living a good life. But that is not the truth of what we believe. We believe that God's gift of eternal life is just that, a gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it, and it doesn't begin when we die. Our eternal life begins in our baptism, and we live into it forever. Now, someday, when human history as we know it comes to an end and Jesus returns, we believe that he will judge the living and the dead, and that he will fully consummate his kingdom, which will have no end. At that time, Jesus will set things right. He will mend everything that sin has torn apart, and he will create a just and peaceful order. And when this happens, we will all experience the final resurrection of our bodies, and we will enter into that final season of our eternal life, which will have no end. But let's jump back for just a minute, because every Sunday, whether we say this in the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body, but do we really? We believe that Jesus' body was resurrected, but when we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body in the creeds, we are saying that we believe our bodies will be resurrected on the last day. Because the truth is, as Christians, we don't believe in the immortality of the soul. We believe in the resurrection of the body. The rub here, like we've seen other times in our sermon series, is that we've been more influenced by TV shows and movies and literature and even songs that have convinced us that what we believe is the immortality of souls. But this belief is not existent in Scripture. It's just not there. But what we do find in Scripture is that from the very, very beginning, Christianity shared with Judaism in the belief of the resurrection of the body and of a future life with God. We see this in the gospel reading that we read today. As a good and faithful Jew, Martha believed in the resurrection at the final day. In the book of Acts, over and over again, the proclamation of the resurrection and the proclamation of Christ go hand in hand. We read two of Paul's writings today, and in several more places, the Apostle Paul insists over and over again that what happened to Christ in his resurrection will happen to us also. And even in the New Testament books where the phrase the resurrection of the body doesn't appear, the concept is still woven throughout. So there is a strong scriptural basis for our belief in the resurrection of the body, mostly in Jesus Christ. So you might be saying, okay, well, what will all of this look like and how will it happen? And maybe some other questions about the logistics and specifics. Well, the truth is that it's a mystery. None of us can predict the future and none of us know the specifics of it. But this is why we don't live in certainty. We live in hope. We live in the hope of who God is and what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do. Brothers and sisters, our blessed hope is that we know our bodies will be transformed, and we trust that, even if we don't know what that will look like and how it will happen. But we know that our bodies will take on a resurrected form, just like Jesus' body was transformed into a resurrected form. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul argues that we cannot know what the resurrected body will be like on the basis of our knowledge of the body that we have now, any more than we could know from the shape of a seed the character of a tree. The truth is that our future hope lies beyond the limits of our imaginations, beyond speech, and beyond thoughts. But this we do know, that at an appointed time, Jesus will come again. And he will come in an ending that is not an ending, but a beginning. And he will transform the entire cosmos by eradicating sin and evil entirely and completely. This is our great hope, that Jesus will return and will be present with us in a world that will be completely transformed by his presence. This truth isn't to be feared or dreaded, but yearned for and celebrated. Jesus will bring heaven to earth in a way that will bring them together so they are one, in the new creation in which Jesus will dwell with us for all eternity. Remember, dear ones, Easter begins in the cemetery. And when the temptation rises for us to say, "I never thought it would end like this," Jesus responds, "Ends? No, my beloved, your journey doesn't end here. Because our God, whose love is so powerful that death cannot separate us from it, will resurrect our bodies from the grave. We will be resurrected and gloriously transformed, and we will dwell with God forever, because in our baptism, we are joined to Christ forever." The great truth of our faith is that Jesus is risen, and the tomb is still empty, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life. Hear this in the very depths of your being. Jesus doesn't just give us eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. And he offers us his very self in the waters of baptism and in the bread and wine. So when you come forward today for communion, dip your finger in the baptismal waters and remind yourself that you are joined to Christ forever, that you have already died and God has raised you to new and everlasting life. Give thanks for that gift of eternal life. And then come to the table and taste and see how good God is with every cell in your body as you take into your very self the one who is the resurrection and the life. Thanks be to God. Amen.